I would be forced to go back to our last 0.5, where
I would say stop being a whiny.
No, where you regaled us in a tale of your corporal, your run-of-the-mill trooper, killing a stage one with a sword. You thought it was amazing that exploding eights could allow that, and you were so full of joy and exuberance.
Yeah, but that's not... No, that's not what I'm pissed about. I don't care about your...
And
that was just the final straw, that your dog killing. I didn't even remember that, actually. I was thinking more of the mortar. It was more of the...
And I was there...
Even the mortar is but it's... Gotta live with it.
I was there beside you going, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, but that didn't happen in a game where you get destroyed, you know?
Well,
you almost won that game. You did win that game.
I did win that game.
Yeah, so. This was a game I was getting destroyed, and that was the final straw, where it's just like, I can't even kill anything, and you killed me with a f***ing dog.
A dog, yes.
So that's what that was.
Your teratons, femoral artery was torn out.
So that's what was the ridiculous part. Look, we'll save it for the podcast. Stop it. Punch you.
Okay.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. And I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to episode 23.5 of Dead Zone the Podcast. In this episode, we have a... As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can search YouTube for Dead Zone the Podcast and see the video version of this episode. And now on to the show.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. This is episode 23.5, a battle report in a new, improved format. My name is Jack.
I'm Rob. I took notes.
And we are the duo that is the Dead Zone Podcast.
Dead Zone the Podcast, yes.
Let us begin, shall we?
We did games.
We did games indeed. That is an eloquent way to put it.
First game.
First game, well, let's start from the beginning. The first game, I was
born many years ago. Oh, not that beginning.
Not that beginning.
Yep, first game was I took the Rebs. Jack took the Plague so he could play with his new Strider. At the time, unpainted.
Yes, it was unpainted, but
Stridery
nonetheless.
Yeah, so it was Rebs versus Striders. Rebs versus Plague.
Well, the Plague was there, but the Strider was
not. No, actually, that's not true. That game had nothing to do with that Strider. He didn't do anything the whole game.
He didn't even get it.
Well, the game didn't last that long.
No, someone... Okay, we're going to go in order. We're not going to do what we usually do.
Nope. So we'll have pictures of all this, and
we'll do it in chronological order. You'll see as we're talking that picture.
We did two boards lengthwise, but we fought... Skinny side, like, we gotta remember, come up with terms what this means.
Well, because it's 16 by 8 at this point, so...
No, it's 8 by 4 at this point. Or you mean squares.
Yeah.
I'm talking feet, yes.
Well, then we do have to, already we're confused, because they're 3-inch squares.
16 by 8 squares, yes.
Inches. Let's...
Because it's usually 4 by 4, right?
Mantic, I want a metric mat. That's all I ask. Yeah. Change your battle zones.
Yeah, you're English. Why are you using inches?
Come on now. Come on!
What are you, American?
What? We got sidetracked real quick.
Anyways, it was the lengthwise. It was 8 squares by 16 squares. And we started on the 16 square sides.
Yes.
Facing each other.
Yes. And you can see it's a pretty dense board. We're using the Mantic terrain.
We have the cargo containers from Tabletop Towns there.
Yes, you can see them in the distance.
We have some Micro Studio stuff, and in the back there we do have some Systema stuff too.
Yeah, so it's a hodgepodge.
Oh, and we have the landing zone for Systema too.
We've got
pretty much everything.
The dog's breakfast of terrain there, but that's how we like it.
Yep, we had everything. And I set up on the cargo container side with my Rebs, and I had we had big units because Jack, we did 100-point games plus Jack got a Strider, so I got an extra 28 points, 29 points.
Yeah, whatever it is.
I ended up with 2 Teratons, some other stuff, thinking that it was a pretty tough group. And Jack had two stage ones?
I had a Strider and then some stuff.
Strider, two stage ones, I think, and a Teraton and a plate. Maybe only one stage one. I don't know.
I can look if it's that important.
No, it's not that important because it didn't last that long.
We took notes.
The first turn, I ran into hiding thinking that his mortar team was going to wipe out my whole team. We find out that mortars can't fire the first round.
Yeah, he scrambled. He made sure that there was not one person out of cover. Like, he just bolted.
Which took my team spots they could have been, like, this one round, they could have been getting to places they needed to go.
But instead, fear took over and they were...
But we didn't know that until Jack's turn. We looked up what indirect did. Oh, you can't fire the first turn. Yeah, you moved up all your guys, pretty much.
Yeah, then I just moved forward. It's a first turn.
Yeah, first turn, nothing much happened.
Let's not pretend that's the with the length of the board, the size of the board, all that terrain. It was just movement.
Yeah, a lot of people just moving up. And then we did our initiative rules, and Jack won initiative because he ended first, so he should have won initiative, so he got it. So, finally, the mortar team does get the fire. My Teraton was out in the open. He got killed by the mortar team. First shot.
And this picture we're looking at right here, you can see my mortar team is up on a building. And I
surrounded
have
him... by a Teraton, a Plague Teraton, and a Plague Swarm.
Yes, they were guarding, because this build was a mortar team build. Like, I just wanted to rain down terror. So, to make sure that they were protected, because last time I used a mortar team, he ran some mob beasts up, and they just chewed them to pieces. So,
because that's what you have to do, otherwise they just kill your whole team.
So, yes, you can see a Plague Teraton and a Plague Swarm guarding a mortar team.
So, the mortar team, okay, it killed a Teraton. That sucks. I've never been able to kill a Teraton in my whole life, but he kills it one turn with a mortar. Fine.
Okay, well.
My Desolator finally gets to fire, shoots at a stage one. He pinned it. That was it. Nothing happened.
It is a stage one.
But it's a Desolator. And then my Teraton tried to kill... My other Teraton ran up, tried to kill I think it was the Plague One he tried to kill. And he missed, whiffed totally, uselessly. Yes. And then Jack ran a dog up, a single goddamn dog, a regular, not even mutated dog, and he killed a f***ing Teraton.
It was such a beautiful thing.
Ridiculous.
If a tear could form in these dead orbs that I call eyeballs, if the blackness that is my iron heart could allow for such a thing, it would happen now. It's like, this is like a touching moment that very few people can even hope to feel. And so that's when Rob said some choice words. It was probably, you know, a flurry of profanity. And then a white flag popped up.
Ridiculous.
Redonkulous.
So really, the Rebs suck.
I wouldn't go that far. I would just say that...
Mortar teams are overpowered?
No, I did not ever want to use a mortar team again because they had whiffed so bad the game before. I said I'd never again.
And actually, the second game we played, you'll find out the mortar team wasn't as much an issue.
No.
Only because I played smart.
But the combination of a direct hit with the mortar team and then a dog running up and getting exploding eights and tearing
a Teraton,
a new one.
I've never killed a Teraton in my life.
And a plague dog.
A plague dog killed a Teraton.
With no mutations. Just...
Ridiculous.
Ridiculously awesome.
It was bad. So needless to say, I was a little angry. I felt Jack's pain when he gets killed by the sniper. I felt that pain.
Yes. The mortar is
And as this is a few weeks after this happened, and I've calmed down. If we had recorded this right after, there would have been tables being flipped.
Time heals all wounds.
And I, as perspective, I'm like, okay, now I know how Jack felt. All those times I called him a whiny for saying that the sniper was too powerful.
He calls me a whiny for just about anything, so really.
But now I understand. I too am a whiny but it didn't stop us from playing a second game, so that's all that matters.
No. Yeah,
all I know is I retired the Rebs. I doubt I will be playing them ever again.
And I want to play the Rebs.
Yeah, good for you. I can't wait to kill them. Maybe I'll play Plague.
You should. Okay, so that game ended...
poorly.
with a white flag and a handshake and congratulatory nod. He doffed his cap to me thusly, and I said, thank you, sir. So we left the game set up, the board the same. We didn't change anything.
Or exact same. But we started end to end this time, eight side to eight side. So it was a long way to get to each other.
And we didn't even, like, I don't even remember what my mission card was for the first game. I don't remember the team. I don't remember anything. It happened so fast. It was a bloody mess. It was a flurry of destruction and then done. So.
Yeah. So the second game, it went a lot longer.
Yes. The second game was
a lot more fun. It was a great game.
It was a good, really good game.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts Jack Fike and Rob Harper. Dead Zone is the tabletop game from Mantic Games. Please visit them at manticgames.com.
Once again, Jack took Plague with 100 points plus the Strider, so he had 129 points. So I had my corporation team, and I had to beef it up, so I took Blaine to beef up my team.
Blaine, who proved he held his own.
He's all right, but he's no Nastanza.
When we start getting into the like round fours and fives, and you
where say, he's just doing nothing, right? Yeah. He did nothing. He didn't kill anything the whole game. Oh, he might have killed some dogs.
He went toe-to-toe with a swarm.
Yeah.
A fight.
Neither of us kill it. Anyway, we'll get to it. We'll get
drag him.
Yeah, but the swarm's not that powerful. How many points is a swarm?
Okay, let's just move on.
A swarm's a lot less points than Blaine.
I can look and see how many points a swarm is.
Anyways, game two. We started on either end. Like I said, I had my corporation team, and Jack had his plague still. Same plague he just used. So I needed redemption. First turn, Jack goes first. He won the roll. Nothing happened. He was pretty much running up. And my sniper got a shot off at a stage one, but I missed. That was pretty much first turn. First turn's usually pretty boring. We're just running up.
Yeah, but again, now that he's got a sniper, that sniper's dangerous.
I had actually two snipers. There's two snipers in my corporation team. But they're not as good as enforcer snipers. They're not as powerful.
But certainly, as we proved. Certainly enough that I kept my,
kept his beak down. He also had a mortar team, so I was also hiding. You'll see me under a lot of bridges in these pictures.
Again, yes, a lot of hiding on both sides.
So, second turn, I should say, Jack wins initiative again, but once again, he had less models, so I think he should have won it. And he just moves up, because that's what Plague do.
Yeah, just, I shamble forward, especially, I do have a stage 1A and a Terra, so, like, he's not moving very far, and I got the Plague team and the General that are pretty stationary. It's basically dogs moving in to cover some ground, engage, and hold up.
And speaking of dogs, my sniper killed a dog, and then my commander used a command point to reactivate the sniper, and he killed another dog.
Yep.
So it was just a dog-killing frenzy with my snipers.
The SPCA has been alerted,
dogs were harmed in the making of this game.
Yes.
Yeah, but you'll see that mostly it was just a lot of dog kills in this game. And, so that was round two. Not much going on there either.
Let's see what we have for pictures here. We're scrolling through here.
Yeah, that's just me moving up. You moving up.
Oh, yeah. Look at that plague swarm just shambling up that hillside.
Yeah. And so, turn three. Once again, Jack gets initiative. He used two distract cards to distract both my snipers.
Yes, because I wasn't having that. And plus, I'd reached a point where I needed to break through some openings.
You needed to stop them from shooting.
Yeah, because I needed to move my slow guys out through. Long story short, two distract cards coming up. I would have been. That's not a card you keep in your holster. That you use that.
Oh, especially against snipers. But I used my commander to reactivate my sniper.
Bastard.
But the sniper shot at the Teraton but missed, because Teratons are hard to kill unless you're a dog. And so Jack's just moving up still. I had my Marines have grenades, so I grenaded two dogs, and it was just some damage. And then I also threw another grenade and killed some dogs. And hence the picture of, five dogs dead.
Yeah, that's round two, and that's the graveyard of plaguehounds starting to form.
Because also in that thing, Blaine charged a dog and killed him. And then he moved and killed another dog. So sniper killed two dogs. Grenade killed one dog. Blaine killed two dogs.
So, yeah, and Blaine did nothing, apparently, but all of a sudden he's cutting through troops.
They're dogs.
They can kill a Teraton.
Yeah, that's true. They're super-powered dogs, I forget. That's why I had to kill them. I think that was all your dogs. I think you only had five dogs. So then all my Marines run up and hide behind a truck.
Yeah, that's the some Marauders accidentally parked their
raptor
there, and it's now caught up in the destruction. And so yeah, you can see Blaine leading the charge of Marines pouring, and what you can't see is they're all under a bridge.
Yeah, there's a bridge. There's no mortars.
They are all just funneling themselves underneath a bridge to keep the to keep the mortars from dropping on them.
And then his Territon in his stage one stumbling up.
Yep, moving into position.
So then turn four happens. Jack wins initiative again, as he should, because once again he has less models. So a dog jumps in on top of Blaine, but he missed, as should happen. And then his swarm jumped in on top of Blaine, and then the swarm-Blaine fight starts.
That's a good picture. I like that. Your phone takes good pictures. Look at that.
So Blaine and the swarm and the dog, they fight for quite a while. And I also try to snipe the Territon again, but I pinned him, but no damage. I started grabbing crates, because that little Jack, no, that was my mission, was to grab crates and get the hell out.
Yes, we're leaving the missions kind of towards the end of this battle report, because we'll mention them
when we actually doing things to do for them.
It does play into the epicness that is this battle.
And then Jack mortared those guys there. I just remembered why you could shoot these guys. You had line of sight on these guys. I was like, we're under a bridge. We were still under the bridge, but you had line of sight on
them. That's right.
I was like, why could he shoot those guys? But yeah, he was at extreme range, so he was getting minus one, and he was...
He
had line of sight on these guys.
Because I couldn't see them at one point when they were back at one point, and then you were under that bridge, and then I said, I can shoot them, and you're like, what? I'm going to shoot directly at them.
We did direct fire. So you mortared them. I think only one Marine died, but the rest were just pinned. And I reactivated one of my sniper with my leader. That's only his whole job. My leader was to stand next to the sniper and reactivate him. And my sniper shoots a mech, but the mech's armor saved him. No damage.
Yes. Now that he's painted, he'll have even more protection.
He does have a nice hard shell. And the last thing that happened in turn four was Blaine attacked the swarm, but missed. And that will be
there's going to be a theme going.
Yes, the big theme.
This is a fight, an epic back and forth fight between the swarm and Blaine. That really, when you think about a hero type, you don't want to see one get, say, chewed up by a dog, but you do want to see one fight toe to toe with a swarm, a nasty swarm.
Yeah, that's pretty much. That happened in turn four. Turn five, once again, Jack gets initiative. The swarm attacks Blaine. Blaine doubled him and attacked back, but missed. And then you commanded the swarm to attack Blaine again.
Yeah.
And he missed.
My commander,
sucked this game. My commander was good this game, but your commander sucked this game. Usually your commander wins every time.
Yeah, he usually gets, and I think...
Well, I guess he didn't suck. He activated models, but they didn't do anything with the activation.
Yeah, usually he always succeeds. Like, I have such good luck with him giving commands, but the times where it was crucial, I was like, I hope that swarm needs to kill Blaine, because there's literally a retinue of people coming in behind him. I have to move on to them.
Yeah.
Just couldn't get it done. The commander was yelling and yelling, and they were just trying, but couldn't do it.
And once again, Jack mortared my Marines and my Corporal. They were pinned all again, and one of the Marines was killed. My sniper missed terribly at the mech. He couldn't... That sniper cannot hit the broadside of a barn.
You've made that...
It's that same girl sniper. And a command action, but I failed, so my commander didn't do anything. And my veteran, who Jack didn't even know was there, she was hiding behind the...
That's right.
She just popped out and attacked the Territon, but missed.
That's right. I moved the Territon up. I was moving him up the
I thought side. I'd get a sneak attack on him. But then his Territon doubled me and killed the veteran.
Because he had a sniper's nest up behind a billboard.
Two different billboards, two different snipers.
So I was moving a Territon and the Strider up the one side of the board, and I thought, okay, well, I'll be able to, like, put some pressure on it. Those snipers would not move. They were just there, and I'm thinking, they have a death wish?
Well, move and shoot, so.
But little did I know that he had
she died right away.
Could have been the other way around.
It's true. I could have killed your Territon if I was a dog. And then Blaine attacked the swarm, but missed, because that's what happens. And Jack attacked Blaine with a dog and missed. And then Blaine got a free attack on the dog, because he doubled him and killed the last dog.
Oh, he was valiant. That dog.
Yeah.
He did his job of tying him up till the swarm got there. And but, just kept in the fight. He was
given the swarm plus one, so it's good.
He's a scrappy little guy.
And then my ranger pot-shotted at stage one, but of course it wasn't going to do any damage. I was hoping I would pull a dog, but it never happened.
Yeah, you're going to harp on that, aren't you?
Yep. Then stage one, slowly but surely, was walking up.
Stop harping on that.
You're so funny. No, you're not.
We will now take a moment for an important message.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, a Dreadball podcast. Wait a sec. Where's my notes? Ah, these guys, they always forget to bring it up here. Ah, just a sec.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. That's 24 successes against your Corporation Striker. I think my Orc Marauder...
I don't know, man. I think I could still do this. I got 3 dice. I could still do it. I could still make... never mind.
What are you guys doing? I need my notes. I should be recording right now, getting this promotion
out. Hey, boss. We just wanted to get a game of Dreadball in before things got a little crazy in the office here.
Sheesh,
no worries.
Man, here we go. Here's the script right here. Let me just write it a couple more things down, make sure my spelling's good. Here you go.
Okay, let's take a look at this. The Strike Zone podcast is a podcast for the fans, by the fans, to celebrate all things Dreadball, is child-friendly and records twice a month on warmoreradio.com. And, okay, I think that's everything, guys.
Okay, just a minute. Can you let us just finish our last turn of the game? I've got a Goblin Jack who is going to try to score with 1 dice.
So you guys are on your last turn, then?
Oh, no, it's not good, because I have a 3-point lead right now, so if he gets the 4-pointer, then he actually will win, even though it's his last strike of the game, and I can't do anything about it. then the breaks.
Okay, this is all good and everything, but we got to get going here, guys. Come on. We got a show to produce. Come on.
The Strike Zone podcast is sponsored by Build a Clone. Build your clones today.
Turn 6, Jack wins initiative, as always, and the Teraton finally got into the fight. He charged my commander, but missed, luckily, because he would have just destroyed my commander if he had hit.
Yeah, the good thing is, because I believe at that point you were overwatching, or you were preparing,
I had all my boxes, I was getting ready to run off the board. Jack didn't know what I was doing, but...
He had collected,
and I didn't know what Jack was doing either. So
he had collected enough points that he was.
I was moving my guys towards the edges because I had to get him off my side.
So my Teraton, thankfully, could teleport up there, and I thought was probably gonna. It was almost a give me. As far as I was concerned, it was a give me that when I jumped up there, a sniper and a commander.
Commander's pretty tough. So.
I thought I was gonna tear him limb from limb, and there's a picture of the Teraton literally
about to rip my guy's head off.
Yeah, didn't happen though.
And then his stage one charged my corporals and my marines charged in there.
He finally made it in. My commander kept saying go go go,
yeah,
and he kept going.
Yeah. And he charged in, hit my corporal, but my corporal took 1 damage. My leader attacked the Teraton. The Teraton doubled and attacked my sniper, but missed, because they're in the same square. And then my corporal attacked the stage 1 and missed, and my marines attacked stage 1 and missed, obviously, because they're not going to do much, because they're not dogs.
Huh? He's looking over at me like he's being funny. He's a comedy genius over here. Hey, laughing boy, I'm over here making jokes. Start laughing.
Jokes.
You like what I'm doing this bit, hey, about the dogs, hey, waka waka.
And then Jack does something insane, but only later did I find out why he did this, but he mortared his stage one, my 2 marines, and my corporal.
At this point, he started fleeing off the back of the board. He had...
My guys were moving that way, yeah.
He started moving down the walkway down the back of the building, and the way the buildings were set up, there was not much room. And at first, I thought, "Oh, they're fleeing because my Teraton and my Strider are almost there." But then, you know what? I think I know what he's doing, and I think he's getting those crates and he's scampering off. I'd already run out of cards to draw.
Yeah, you were running low.
And I only had 2 cards in my hand at that point, so we were getting dire.
And your card was?
My mission card was I had to survive, much like his,
point
per round.
Survives, yeah.
But I had to kill his...
anybody, it was points. Wasn't it just 1 point for anybody killed?
Yeah, I had to kill his people. The name of the mission, I don't know off the top of my head, but it was literally you had to kill people for 1 point plus survive for a point. And I knew I was within...
Yeah, a few points.
A few points.
So he's hoping to kill all my Marines with a thing and get all those points.
And unfortunately, when the stage one couldn't do it, I had to do a rolling bombardment, which meant that my infantry might take some casualties, but it's a necessary evil to keep the enemy's head down.
But
so,
is it stage one? So stage one was only pinned. My corporal was killed, and my two Marines were wounded, the two remaining Marines. So it was a good move, really, in the end.
But yeah, I can't complain, considering.
And then your swarm attacked Blaine and actually did a wound.
Nice. We're starting to see blood. There's some blood flying.
There's a lot of blood in this little area. My sniper broke off from your Terraton and actually made it, broke off. And then all my guys started retreating towards the edge. This is when I was running for it. And all my Marines attacked at stage one, but obviously missed. So at this point, my guys are running for the edge because I have enough. If I get like three guys off, I would have enough points to win. And little did I know, Jack just had to kill like two more people and he would have won. So we're running towards the edges. Turn seven. Jack wins initiative again. The Terraton wounds the leader, but the leader's still alive to keep the wave back.
And I'm thinking, okay, like I don't know what his mission is yet. He hasn't declared anything, but I think I know what it is. Now I'm desperate. I'm desperate to get a couple.
And it's turn seven out of eight, so.
And again, my cards are low. I know it's dire.
So yeah, so the Terraton couldn't kill the leader, so Jack had the mech right behind him. The mech flamered through the Terraton, the leader, to try to kill a sniper. And he missed the Terraton, missed the leader, and only pinned the sniper, luckily for me. And at this point, Jack only needed to kill one more person. So he was just trying to kill anybody.
I was, my own people were just hazards, were speed bumps on the speedway of killing anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone, because I believe at this point, Rob had declared.
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, it was, I knew I had to kill anyone.
Your mortar finally shot and missed, which was nice. That saved some people. And your commander started moving up, but, it wasn't.
Yeah. Now my commander, I use a stage 1A or the stage 3. I'm sorry, the stage 3, and he's just basically issuing commands. But
everybody was getting out of range.
Everyone was out of range, and I needed to move him into range, so I didn't need to roll multiple successes on my command. But also, if I had to, I think I could have reached someone the next round and
helped
just
out.
Thrown in like a plus one dice to be in the same square or a charge something.
So then I moved two crates off and I declare victory because I had picked up the question mark, which counts as a victory point when it's not part of the mission, and I collected the intel. So I had those, plus we survived six rounds. So that was six plus the intel plus the question mark was eight. So I had to move two guys off, moved them off, that's 10 points. So I declared victory. And at this point, Jack's like, well, let me look at my card.
Well, see, he was like, I'm declaring victory. I'm going to win. And I said, well, you might not win. And he said, well, you're not declaring. Why aren't you declaring it? I said, because my win is determined by if I can kill one more guy. Yeah. I can't declare victory.
Yeah, then he showed me a card and we're like, okay.
I can't declare victory when I haven't killed that last
guy.
So
he had the end of the round to do something.
And that's the key thing. He declared victory. He was going to win if I didn't kill one more guy.
At the time, I didn't know he only needed one more guy, but. So my snipe shot at the mech had missed again because she sucks. I have to, like, get a new sniper model.
I think you need it's the model because it's the same one that's...
she's missed every time. The other model, he hits things and kills things.
But she has not hit anything.
No, she's never killed anything. So once again, we go back to the old Blaine swarm fight. I finally bloodied the swarm, so now we're both bloodied.
It's knockdown, dragout. Like, and I think... There was a lot of tension because both of our mission cards...
We knew this was coming to the end.
But it was. But for me, and I'm not going to speak for Rob, this fight was three rounds
of fisticuffs. Yeah, at least three rounds. When did it start?
Round four.
Let me check.
Round four.
Yeah, I think it was round four. Yep, I think you're right. Yep, it was round four. You jumped in there.
Round four. We're now on seven.
Yep, three rounds of us just whiffing at each other. We finally did some bloody...
And we had multiple attacks during the round due to
doubling
and stuff. This was a heavyweight fight. I think now the swarm was kind of hanging on Blaine.
Yep. But then the swarm attacked Blaine and missed.
Blaine's just doing some...
Jack needs one more kill at this point. So the swarm attacks Blaine and missed. So he's like, okay. Finally, stage one pulls it out. Stage one versus a Marine. It's not saying much. So stage one is standing against one Marine. One Marine left. He needs to kill one thing. So he just has to punch this one Marine to death.
You can see there's fire and flames and blood.
Blood everywhere. Yeah.
Because I had mortared
the area. That's right. There was only one guy left after the mortaring and the killing.
Because I just kept mortaring in there, just hoping, praying.
So Jack needs to kill one more creature. And what's he do? He punches a Marine to death. Game ends in a draw.
That's the thing. That was the end of the round. That was, you had, your victory card was completed because that you had taken all those cases off and survived. mine was completed because I had killed a Marine.
And I'm sure there is technically a way that it wasn't a draw, that maybe, I'm sure in the rules there's something to break draws, but we like it better if it ended up a draw.
Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But yeah, you in your mind had assured victories, and I was not knowing what
you had to kill one more. If you'd missed that Marine, I would have won.
Oh yeah, and at one point you were, if I didn't kill anything, assured a victory. Due to my cards, I could have lasted two more rounds or one more round. But the long and short of it is, it was a desperate struggle at that last little bit to see who would have won, and it became a draw.
Yeah, it was a great fight. It was just the whole thing, and I think the Blaine Swarm fight was a microcosm of the whole battle.
Yeah, I think so.
It was just people fighting each other, and in the end, where does it get you?
War, what's it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, and the thing is, I had anticipated the kills that I wanted to get in different places than I was getting them.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the Territon was
going to... Well, you thought for sure the Territon was going to kill the leader. You thought for sure the Flamer was going to kill the Sniper.
And if not, the Flamer would have, incidentally, I flamed through a bunch of squares with my guys in them too. So I thought, and it just turned out that a stage one grabbed a guy and tore his head off.
Yeah.
Do you like Mantic Games? Do you want to read about your favorite games in a monthly magazine? Have we got the offer for you? Iron Watch Magazine. Iron Watch brings you the latest news, articles, and short stories taking place in the Mantic universe. Dreadball, Kings of War, Dead Zone, Warpath. You want it? They got it. Ironwatch.wordpress.com. Get it now for the low, low price of free. You can't beat that at twice the price. That's ironwatch.wordpress.com. Download now.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast.
And every time Jack either flamed or mortared, he put the flame markers down.
I may have done that, yeah.
So there's flame markers all over where there was fire action. But once again, the Strider didn't do much in that fight.
No.
He got to shoot the flamer once at least.
No, I walked
And your Territon actually didn't do anything in that fight. It was all your stage one, really.
I walked him up with the Territon.
Your mortars in stage one.
And thinking that they would meet the bulk of your forces, because you do play a very cowardly game. You guys stand up on a building and...
I can't fight you hand-to-hand.
Oh, well.
Wait till you play Rebs. You'll talk about cowardly.
Your Territon was cowardly, and that's why a dog tore his femur off.
No, my Territon attacked the stage one, and then a dog attacked him and won.
Well,
so he wasn't cowardly at all.
A dog buried him. He dug a hole, threw him in there, and then he'll come back later and eat his turtley bones.
Can't believe he cheated.
Yeah, well, exploding eights, that's what makes the game awesome. As far as I'm concerned.
It proves that anybody can kill anything, that's for damn sure.
It adds an element of chaos that is appreciated by most.
Well, it's, yeah, you can't just say, oh, that dog can't kill me. Like, you can't just be like, whatever. Yeah. This, like, even my Marines had a chance to kill your stage one. They just had to roll really well.
And we've had 99 out of 100 times the dogs are just butchered.
Oh, yeah, they serve
a purpose. Yeah. They engage, they take up the space until my troops get there.
Yeah.
But one time... Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
And one time they actually were effective.
And that dog was effective.
Killing effective. They're always effective. This one, not so much because they didn't get there. My sniper killed quite a few. And Blaine killed a couple.
Yeah.
So.
And a grenade.
And a grenade killed one.
Grenades are getting fun. You,
my corporation team has a lot more grenades than the average group.
And
they use them.
they do. And the mortars, they're
mortars are crazy.
Modified grenades. So, yeah. So, As battles go, it was an enjoyable game to play. The terrain worked out nicely.
But it was a fun battle. I love my corporation. I think they're pretty balanced. Obviously, they are pretty balanced.
Yeah, that was built with your
they were built with the army builder.
And Rob's army builder, I will peruse, and we will be.
You can find it. We'll put a link to it at the website. But it's on. Once again, you go to Game Board Geek. And you go to Dead Zone, and you go to Files, and it'll be in there. It's called the Dead Zone Army Builder, I think we called it, or Troop Builder. Troop Builder, I think.
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to, next time we play, I'm going to play Rebs. I've been pretty plaguey. I've been plague heavy. I think I really, when I painted that Plague Swarm, I really enjoyed the way, I enjoyed building it, I enjoyed painting it, and I liked the way it looks, so I've always wanted to put it in, and I've been remiss in the fact that I haven't really explored the Rebs enough. You know, you should be well-rounded. Some people, it's like, I'll be Marauders. I'll just always be Marauders. Well,
yeah, we try to play different ones. I played more different ones than you have, though.
You go and lick the windows of the short bus. I plan to be a well-rounded individual, so I'm going to play Marauders next.
Rebs.
Rebs next. I've played the Rebs once before, but...
Have you never played Marauders?
No.
And you've never played Enforcers?
No.
So, yeah, you haven't played much.
So,
I haven't played is, well, we haven't played Forge Fathers or Starians yet, but I've never played Plague. So, maybe it'll be Rebs versus Plague.
There you go.
With my Plague dogs.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, we'll see. That's what I'm going to do next. But in the future, I am going to be getting out that builder and build a Plague army that I can tweak up. And
especially since you got this new model.
Put the creepy mask.
We haven't decided his name yet.
Put creepy mask in there and see what I can do as a build for him. But yeah. But again, an enjoyable game. As far as I'm concerned, the rules are fun, are balanced, are fast.
Yep.
And I've got no complaints.
There's a few things that are, I think, a little OP, but they're on both sides. So I guess it balances that way.
Our initiative rule makes things...
There's still a chance. It worked every time in this game. It worked out that the person who was supposed to have initiative did have initiative. But...
Yeah, but we've had it switch. We've had it switch. So it's not like it's a...
It's not totally useless, but it just gives that, once again, that chance.
And it's not useless when you have to hold the two dice in your hand and look at the other guy and go,
yeah.
I have my ass hanging out. I have guys...
Sure, I get two dice, you only get one dice, and I win ties, but still.
But there's a chance, yeah. And I left my general sprinting from point A to point B.
Hoping banking, that you won initiative, yeah.
Banking, praying. But there's that time when the little bead of sweat starts on the brow.
It does give you a little thinking.
Perhaps it's your sphincter tightens ever so slightly, and then you have to roll. And that is the fun of that.
Yeah.
It's something I think the game's missing. But other than that, the mechanics and the way the game plays, the speed, the way the turns go, I think are all, it's a marvelous, marvelous game.
And the next thing we're going to be looking at is the Overwatch. Since Overwatch is nearly useless now.
The first game that we played, which we may never ever speak again because Rob's still kind of bitter about, the first game where the dog took the Territon, shook him vigorously like a crying baby, then dug a hole, buried him, scooped the soil back over the body, and then lifted one leg and then urinated in a plurific, in a stream of yellow nastiness.
I never insulted you when I just killed everybody with snipers. I never said that.
That's true, but...
You don't have to rub it in.
You were kind of... You started it. Everyone, he started it.
Yeah, but you're always like that, so I deserve to have one time.
Okay, well anyways, long story short, where was I going with that?
I don't know. Overwatch.
Overwatch. I was Overwatching quite a bit to test to see.
Yeah.
And it didn't come to fruition because the game was a dwarf of a game, but it... I
Overwatched during this game too, but it never
came to fruition because I had bodyguards for my mortar team, and I was
you Overwatched
that. And I was Overwatching because he
was sprinting. It was actually effective because it stopped me from running up because you could have ran in and killed him before I could kill you.
You did have people coming
to try to get the mortar team. Yeah,
there's two buildings side by side with a bridge.
All my Yindish went after the mortar team,
and you had guys just sprinting over there to take him out, and I just Overwatched a swarm and a Territon, and it kind of stopped you there.
Stopped me from
We never got to see exactly how it would play out. Because it had just reached.
Most likely, your swarm would just eat my Yindish for breakfast. But
yeah, they're agile, makes it nice because they can hide someplace and still be able to be in Overwatch up to someplace higher or whatever. But it was nice. But
But our Overwatch idea is, like we said before, is more like XCOM, where they actually get reaction fire to whoever pops out.
It was it's based on the fact that you shouldn't be penalized because you've decided to spend a whole long action
and sit and aim
aiming and waiting for someone to move through an area.
Yeah.
it seems counter, the rule seems
It's a difference
counter.
Between reaction shot and wait and covering fire.
Yeah, like if a reaction being, oh, you've been surprised by someone.
Like Infinity, it's a reaction shot where it's like somebody pops out and you're like, ah, shit, there's somebody there.
Because maybe you've already used your turn, and yeah. This is an addition to, like, you're shooting in this direction.
But if you're wasting a whole long turn, you deserve a chance to hit. You shouldn't, like...
You put some sandbags out, yeah. you got to...
Exactly. And you're aiming at a certain spot.
you know, you lick your finger and you're testing for the wind. Okay. You're ready.
Yeah.
And that's the basis of it. Now, we've added a couple tweaks, meaning that besides being ready and you shouldn't be penalized, firing at a regular rate is adequate.
You can't aim.
But you can't aim, and you can't choose to not shoot. The first
enemy the first thing that pops out, you have to hit shoot.
That moves through your...
And everybody who's on Overwatch has to shoot that first thing, too. So they could all waste their shots at a dog, and then your stage one could walk out.
That's right. So
you don't get to choose.
If there's two guys on Overwatch, and they can see one thing, and that one area, and someone moves into it, they both shoot at that thing.
Yeah.
Someone else in Overwatch who's on the other side of the board, he doesn't have to, because he can't see it.
The first thing that they see that moves into their field of view, they shoot at.
The first square it moves in. If that's midway through that person's movement, if they've got fast and they're in their
first... And it doesn't matter if they see him at the beginning or the end. Like now, you have to see him at the beginning or the end, which doesn't make sense either.
Yeah, they don't have to be at rest before.
Other than
you
Teratons
fire.
Who teleport. So, Teratons you can't Overwatch against.
So, they move into the view, shoot, boom, 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 boom. They might kill him, but if not, then he continues his move and ends where he's going to be. I think that's a pretty reasonable...
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I guess it could be sort of powerful, but you are wasting a turn. It could be, especially in Dead Zone, where there's so much cover. If you see a guy in Overwatch, you just go the other way. And then that guy wasted his whole turn sitting there waiting for somebody to come out who never did. You know?
The long action does make it, it's a lot of resources to put into something that might not come to fruition.
Like, I can understand if you're in a big open field where you have to, or you're in a funnel where you have to go in that area, that'd be super powerful. Because then you just put everybody in Overwatch and they all just blast the shit out of everything.
I wouldn't want to be the first guy to come through there.
Yeah. And that's another thing. That's good that they all have to shoot at the first guy, because then you can just sacrifice a dog and then bring your real troops through.
Yeah, but...
And it also encourages you not to put everybody in Overwatch. You put one guy in Overwatch, and he kills the first thing, and then the other guy's moving up.
Move it up.
Covering... It's like real military tactics.
Pepper potting, it's called.
Well, look at him knowing his terminology.
Yes, it's been a while, but yes, I do. I retain a few things.
One or two things stick in the old brain pan.
Yeah. And I think as a rule, like, we don't mind mixing stuff up with the rules. The rules are good, don't get me wrong, but we house ruling a couple things, and I think Overwatch is...
It's just stuff that we like, that's all.
Yeah.
We like to be able to use it. They're like, we don't use Overwatch because it's not that useful.
Initiative, that was something that we, for what we just described...
And for everybody, because even Warren on Beast of War has recently been talking about 40K. In 40K, it's you move your whole army, I move my whole army, which blows chunks. Everybody realized that. But 40K is an old game. So it's before they realized it. So Warren's brought in the idea of Bolt Action, the World War II game, where it's a bag, and every unit has a chip, and you pull out the chip. Okay, this time in Bolt Action, it's the Germans. And then and then one of your German guys moves. Pull another chip. It could be another German. It could be an ally.
Oh.
And then there's... So it's what it said, it's not random, because the way we do initiative, theoretically, ours is a little more balanced, but theoretically, if you do just roll for initiative, one person could always go first. This one, it's you go back and forth until... And it could be all the Germans go and all the allies go, or it could be back 1-1, or it could be...
Could be
mixed.
couple of these, couple of that.
And the percentages change as the chips go down. So it's... More chance that there's going to be an ally next if all the Germans, you know.
So if the Germans blitzkrieg for the first round, and then all of a sudden, well, now there's a lot of allied chips in that bag now. So they get to...
Then they get to move. Or the other way. Or it could be the other way around. It's random, but not...
But see what I did there?
Balanced.
I used blitzkrieg because...
I understand.
Okay.
It's random, but balanced, and that's... And ours is really balanced, I think. It ends up working out the way it should most times. But there's just that slim chance that it might not.
And again, it's that thrill that it doesn't really... It doesn't change the mechanics that much.
No.
That way we do it, it has made...
It's one extra roll.
It's made some upsets that are like, oh my god, I get to go first and I hadn't anticipated it. But for the most part, it's just the joy of one roll in that brief moment of chaos.
Or also when you're getting your ass kicked and then you're like, oh, I just need to win this initiative.
Oh,
you get that one little spark of hope.
I don't know how many times that we've both just been like,
please, I need this.
Just matter-of-factly look at the other guy and go, I need this initiative.
And then we don't get it. But still.
You don't understand. I need this. Yeah. And sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't.
It works well. So yeah, we like house ruling. It's fun.
That and Overwatch, and really, two minor tweaks to...
I don't think, yeah, we don't have to change... Oh, other than the other rule we've changed is the heroes mercs rule.
Which we've never used that either.
No, we've never used... That's true, we've never used it. We hate the idea that people that only work for one faction aren't... They shouldn't be mercs, they're heroes.
Yeah, you can't... A mercenary would be far higher, whereas someone who goes, I'm going to be a champion in your army...
Recon is not a mercenary.
And then someone
else... He works for the enforcers.
Then if the plague go, hey, Recon, you want to go over here? We got Geld up the yin-yang here. You want some Krugerrands? Whatever the currency is, I don't know.
Is making up words?
Well, Geld, Kruger... Okay. Again, I'm getting chastised for my archaic... long story short, if they said, hey, come on over, and he went, no, I only work for these guys. Then what kind
He's
of
mercenary... not a mercenary, yeah.
What kind of mercenary are you?
Like, I can understand, like, some guys work for anybody except this for moral grounds. That's different. They're still mercenaries, but they have morals.
Like when I'm a mercenary, it's no women and children. And I put that right out front.
You don't work for women and children?
Right on Craigslist when I say that I'll...
You'll work for anybody but women and children?
Exactly. Come on. No.
I kill women and children. I don't work for them.
Anyways. That's not a joke. That's
why'd
wrong.
Why'd you laugh
that's
at that?
That's disgusting.
We've been drinking.
The truth comes out.
Anyways, I think that might end this battle report.
In the most tasteful way possible.
This is a little special episode that we couldn't fit into our regular episodes, and we'll probably be doing these more.
Another 0.5. And I think we took notes, so we have...
Yeah, tell us how you liked that. Well, it did degrade into the normal battle report at the end, but tell us how you liked us actually going round to round, if that was better than us just reminiscing half-heartedly about a game.
Yeah, waxing nostalgic. Remember that time?
I think I did this. No, that was the next round. I don't remember when I did that.
Remember at the beginning of the game? We're talking about round 7. Yeah, but at the beginning of the game, that guy did that thing. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot this. Well, we still did that, but anyways.
Yeah.
Let us know how you like this battle report, if you even like battle reports. Personally, not a big fan.
And we're tweaking it. We'll get better. We'll get almost to where you can follow along.
And hopefully the pictures do us a little bit more justice.
Yeah.
So until next time, I've been Rob.
And I'm still Jack.
Are you?
Da, da, da. And this has been the Dead Zone Podcast, a 0.5 Battle Zone Battle Report Edition.
Battle Zone Battle System Report. Listen.
This has been the Dead Zone Podcast.
Stay frosty.
One love.
Here is your host, Rob, to tell you how to contact us here at the Dead Zone Podcast.
Thank you, Wintergreen. You can listen to us on our website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. You can email us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at deadzonepodcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Join us next time for some more of the Dead Zone Podcast.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is to laugh.
Bastrow!
Oi there, Dirigible.
It's a gavel. A haunted gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Ooh, now that's some fine programming.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com